I often get asked, what are the essential copywriting skills for beginners? Or even, you know, what are the skills that you need to master and that you're going to continue to use for every piece of copy you write all the way up through, you know, when you retire as a highly successful professional copywriter? And so while it doesn't work as a single episode, what I decided to do was create a series of episodes. And it's going to be a dozen plus episodes over the next few weeks. And then I'll make it available afterwards as something that you can sign up for to go through day by day. And it's going to be called Essential Copywriting Skills. And so for today's Breakthrough Marketing Secrets episode, we're going to be covering the essential copywriting skills. And let's dive in.
These are the proven direct response marketing, copywriting, and entrepreneurship success strategies you can use today to write your own ticket and create the life you want. I am Roy Furr, and this is Breakthrough Marketing Secrets. Now, here's today's breakthrough.
Okay, so what is the first essential copywriting skill? What's the first essential copywriting skill? It is to create a hook and lead. Now, we'll talk about the specifics of actually writing a headline in a later video. But what we're talking about is the idea behind the headline, the idea that captures people's attention, the idea that brings your audience in. And so I have a bunch of notes here, and I'm just going to go through them. First things first, and we'll come back to this in the headline video, I'm sure, is that every good headline follows my ABC headline formula. And this isn't like, you know, it's not a template, right? This is what the headline contains in order to pull in the right readers, such that the people who engage with your advertisement, whether it is text on page or whether it is video or some other media format, it contains this ABC headline formula. And that is audience, benefit, and curiosity. So when a member of your ideal audience reads your headline or engages with your hook for the first time, are they going to say, oh, this is for me, this is targeted at me, like subconsciously? Are they going to recognize, oh, this is perfect for me? And if so, then you've captured the audience part. B is benefit. Now, benefit can be a solution to a problem, or it can be a positive benefit, achieving some kind of desire or goal. But it should be clear that there is a benefit, not just to the offer that you're going to have in place, but to even engaging with your advertisement. There should be some perceived benefit of, I'm going to figure something out. I'm going to figure out how to solve my problem. I'm going to figure out how to get what I want. I'm going to, you know, learn about something interesting. So what's the benefit? Curiosity. It should also stimulate their curiosity, which means that the headline in good advertising that works in mass markets of people who don't know you yet, cold traffic, it's going to capture the curiosity of the audience, and it's going to pull it into the rest of the advertisement. And so you have to do something that stimulates a curiosity, that establishes an open loop, essentially, that is something that they need to have the answer to before they can go on with their day. So with that as the established like principle behind the lead and the hook, what's next? Well, we need to start finding ideas. We need to find out, what is your audience already paying attention to? So in their life, there are lots of things going on, and there can be things going on personally in their life. There can be things going on in their relationships. There can be things going on in their health. There can be things going on in their finances, their money situation. There can be things going on in the news of the world at large. Knowing what your audience is paying attention to right now and how that's relevant to your particular product or service lets you orient yourself towards finding the idea that's going to capture their attention, because essentially people are going to keep paying attention to what they're paying attention to. It's just a matter of redirecting it towards whatever new message. Like, people pay attention to the same news articles over and over again. People pay attention to the same content over and over again. And that's why, for example, you know, Facebook and Google and et cetera, like, once they learn what you like, they use algorithms to give you more of that. It's what creates the internet echo chamber, where all of the content that you're being served on the internet is smart. It's because they know what you're paying attention to. And so as a marketer, as a copywriter, your job is to, number one, you have to figure out what your audience is paying attention to right now so you can essentially give them more of that and then direct it in whatever new direction. And then how does this speak to an urgent problem that they are going to want to solve imminently with a purchase probably? How does this speak to a 10x opportunity, an opportunity to make their life bigger, not in some small incremental way, but in some magnificent, gigantic way? Or how does it speak to an imminent prediction? Like, is something going to change in the near future that's going to create an urgent problem or a 10x opportunity for them to either solve or take advantage of? Now, those are the three big idea types from my high velocity copywriting training program. And I'll include a link with this episode for you to check that out if you're interested. But how does this speak to an urgent problem, a 10x opportunity, an imminent prediction? And here we're not even necessarily trying to write the words yet. We're just collecting a bunch of notes. And by the way, if you aren't yet, for this series especially, if you do any kind of copywriting or even if you give copywriters on your team feedback on copywriting, you should be taking lots of notes. Okay, it should feel new and unique, never before seen. We pay attention. Our brains are designed to look for novel stimulus. That's how we survived for hundreds of thousands of years through evolution. Like, and actually, honestly, it goes back millions of years before that through the entire evolution of all creatures, that our brains are trained to pay attention to new stimulus so that we can figure out, is this a threat? Is this something good? Is this... And so we pay attention. Oh, that's something new. We make a judgment about it and we go towards it or we go away from it. Well, it has to be new to get that attention in the first place. Oftentimes, like I was saying with the whole internet echo chamber thing, it's a new angle on the familiar. And so, you know, if I'm scrolling through Google News, for example, and I see a headline that is, oh, that's a story that I've already read about. That's a story I read about yesterday. And there's nothing new to the story conveyed in the headline, I'm not going to click on it. But if it's a story that I've been following and there's something new, a new development that has been that's been presented in the headline, or even the promise of a new development, I may click it because I want to know more about it. Or if it's a topic I've been following in general, I find that Google News, for example, gives me a lot of workout things because I fairly consistently work out and I fairly consistently look up things about exercise and fitness on the internet. And I don't click on everything, but when there is a perceived new angle on the familiar, it's something that I'll dive into. One important thing to note here is usually it's a few degrees off. And here I'm talking about, like, you know, a compass, right? Instead of at 90 degrees, it's at 85 degrees, or it's at 95 degrees. Like, it's a few degrees off. It's not a 180 degree turn. You're not forcing someone to turn around completely on a topic that they're aware of. Sometimes, maybe, I suppose, but for the most part, it's like, oh, new discovery around this leads us down this path. And ideally here, it's not something that everybody is talking about. And so this is especially important in mature markets. And frankly, most big markets are very mature markets at this point. So for example, if there is, you know, if you're involved in stock investing, what completely new topic about stock investing are you going to talk about? If it's relationships, what completely new topic about relationships or new angle on relationships are you going to talk about? If it's about health, what new angle on heart health are you going to talk about? What new angle on, you know, stomach health or whatever are you going to talk about? So it should be something that is at least a little bit different from what everybody else is talking about. Now, your idea that is going to go into your hook and go into your lead, it doesn't have to relate directly to your product, but it does have to relate to the big benefits. So we talked about audience benefit curiosity. It should tie in some way. Like if the benefit is better relationships, if it's better personal development stuff, if it's better health, if it's better finances, then your hook ideally is going to have some kind of connection, some kind of path that you can walk them down that is not too meandering or isn't too much of a left turn, that is going to tie their attention and their interest to the offer. So it gets the attention and creates interest of your ideal target market that can be redirected towards your offer. Now, as far as these ideas go, it's been my experience that, you know, creativity is a great thing. However, you are much better being responsively creative than just like pure generatively creative. So generatively creative, and that's a word that I'm just throwing in here, right? Is that you generate completely fresh new ideas, right? You invent something from nothing. But responsively creative is where you're collecting ideas and you're connecting ideas. It's like, electric motors and battery technology are getting good enough that we could actually revisit the idea of electric cars, which actually existed before gasoline cars, or around the time that gasoline cars were invented, 100 plus years ago. But the batteries are getting good and the motors are getting good, so we can revisit this. So how can we collect and connect those things and connect them together? And oh, look, we have Tesla. We have all this new electric car phenomenon that's going on. Or, for example, a few years ago, I've told this story often, but it's absolutely relevant here. And I think it's a great example. I was reading the news and I saw that there was a Russian satellite. It was like a piece of space junk that had been launched in 2014, and everybody assumed that it was nothing. And then suddenly it started moving, like it was something like put up there intentionally and that had a purpose. And my client at the time was selling a lot of things around the idea of an electromagnetic pulse attack, and or just an electromagnetic pulse and needing backup power solutions in the case that like solar flares can cause an electromagnetic pulse, but also a high altitude nuclear explosion can cause an electromagnetic pulse that can take out the power grid. And so I said, well, okay, so those are two interesting stories to connect. And I had just collected it and I said, oh, that satellite story is really interesting. It was like all over my Google News for a couple days. Satellite story is really interesting. How can I connect that to the electromagnetic pulse? Well, so there's this nuclear thing, and is it at the right altitude? Oh, it is at the right altitude for that. And if they were to actually, you know, have that fly over America, oh, they do have it fly over America. And could they actually have a nuclear bomb? Well, I suppose they could. And if that were detonated, oh yeah, it could actually cause an electromagnetic pulse and cause big problems for the power grid. Okay, so that's all really interesting. And I combined those two stories and I made a new one, and we sold a whole lot of EMP resistant backup generators. And so, you know, what gets your attention? If you are studying your target market, if you're paying attention to your target market, what if you put yourself in the perspective of that audience, what gets you to pay attention? And how can you use that to connect that to your ultimate pitch for your product or service? And we'll talk about pitches soon. Now, then you want to capture the full story in the hook and headline. Like I said, I'm going to have a whole separate video on actually how to write headlines. But the whole story that I mean is like negative to positive, problem to solution, desire to fulfillment. And you want to give enough of that narrative arc that it's not just like, oh, I'm completely miserable and XYZ, right? Like I'm miserable. No, it's, you know, how I went from miserable to insanely happy and achieved all the benefit that I desired. And like, that's terrible copy to be writing off the top of my head, but I hope it gives you the idea that there is a narrative arc in most copy, and we'll talk about stories as well in this series. There's a narrative arc in copy that goes from negative or like an unfulfilled need to positive or the fulfilled need. So how can you go from negative to positive, problem to solution, desire to fulfillment, at least enough in the headline, in the opening of your advertisement, that you are setting the stage for them to know that is going to be the positive outcome from engaging with your advertisement. Create frictionless flow from headline to lead. So this is really easy to do, especially for more novice copywriters. I feel like, maybe you have a really good headline idea, but it doesn't completely match your story that you want or your pitch that you want in your product. And so you write this really good headline idea And then you write, let you start a brand new story in the first line of your copy or the first words of your video sales letter. That it's jarring to your audience, and it makes them feel like, oh, this person doesn't, you know, connect to their promises. They don't deliver on their promises. And it's pretty subtle. It's what one of my mentors, David Golan, called a negative thought packet. That it's, you know, it may not be enough to actually stop them from reading at that point, but it's planting the seeds of negativity about your message in their head. And at some point, those seeds are going to grow. And if there's more than one negative thought packet, or if there's a few negative thought packets that are jarring experiences from the copy or reasons that they don't feel good in the copy, then you're going to lose them. And you're not even, they might not even know why. So you need to create a frictionless flow from your headline to your lead. So your lead, like the first words after the headline area, are going to build on the headline. You want to maintain the curiosity. Don't close any open loops that you have. My training on sleight of pen, it's copywriting training focused on principles of hypnosis and NLP and persuasion. That actually goes, there's a whole section on open loops. And so you might want to check that out. So creating this frictionless flow from headline to lead, part of it is that you want to make sure that ABC, that, you know, the audience still feels like this is for them. They're still feeling like they're going to get the benefit that you promised, and they still have curiosity that's going to keep them reading deep into your advertisement in whatever media it is, or paying attention, you know, watching the video. And then the other thing that you need to do is to make sure that you do actually set up the pitch. And so as you go through your copywriting, you're going to have an idea. Okay, this is how I want to get attention. This is how I want to build interest. This is how I want to stimulate desire for my product in particular. This is how I want to get people to take action. And so in this whole attention and interest, like getting people to pay attention and getting them interested in what you have to say, what you need to do is you're going to need to bridge into the actual pitch for your product, where you're actually, you know, setting up the buying criteria that's going to make people interested in buying your product in particular. So that is it for create a hook and lead. And like I said, this is going to cover a dozen plus episodes, and so there's a lot more to come, including things that are going to tie in back to this original episode. If you are interested in any of the training in that I've mentioned throughout, I'll make sure that I include links to high velocity copywriting, to sleight of pen, and to my BTMS Insiders training library, which actually contains all of the training. It's like Netflix, but for copywriting and marketing training, where you pay one low monthly fee and you get access to everything. And that includes the high velocity copywriting and sleight of pen. Also, I'll include a link to Breakthrough Marketing Secrets. If you are, you know, if you're checking out this series in May, June, 2021, then you're going to find the best way to make sure that you're getting all the episodes is to be on my Breakthrough Marketing Secrets email list. And after the series is complete, I'll make sure to add a link, and you can get all the episodes in this series, plus get added to Breakthrough Marketing Secrets as well. So my name is Roy Furr. This has been a daily episode of Breakthrough Marketing Secrets, as well as the first episode in the Essential Copywriting Skills series. And I would love it if you'd leave a comment with this video. Let me know on a scale of 1 to 10 how valuable you're finding it and why. What are your action items? What are your takeaways? What are you getting out of this? You know, how is this making you rethink how you approach creating a hook and lead? Also, tap that like button before you go so you get more content like this delivered to you, and so the magical algorithms of the internet know to share it with more people like you who will find it valuable. You can certainly share it with folks directly, and subscribe before you go. You can subscribe here. You can also go to breakthroughmarketingsecrets.com, get those daily emails, plus episode notifications and more. Again, I'm Roy for Breakthrough Marketing Secrets. I always aim for a 10 out of 10 value, and I hope that I've delivered it here, and I will continue to hope and aim to deliver it throughout the rest of this series. Thanks for watching. I'll catch you again in the next episode.
Thank you once again for tuning in to this daily episode of Breakthrough Marketing Secrets. Remember, check out the links with this episode for even more value. Now make sure you like, comment, share, subscribe, and engage in every way you can to keep this show going and growing and delivering daily value to you. I'll catch you soon for your next big breakthrough.